This Scoops is proudly produced by News Scoop.
Good day to you. Welcome to Biz Scoops for business news, local and international. I'm Barry Murray. On today's show, the plan to privatize the construction and operation of electricity transmission lines is gaining momentum, and the unit of APSA plans to open a representative office in Dubai next year. The economist Valdo Grichel talks about policy and economic uncertainty. In international business news, the conservative USA TV network Newsmax has seen an extraordinary stock market surge. In investment news, the ICT group ICO has turned a profit for the first time in 3 years, and we also chat with an advisor of Premier Alan Windey, R.V. Lester, about the Western Cape government's energy resilience program.
A look now at local business news.
The plan to privatize the construction and operation of electricity transmission lines is gaining momentum. The Minister of Electricity, Josienso Ramakgopa, says the first part of the test project to be put out to tender could be connected to the country's power grid as early as August 2029. This is for about 200 meters of transmission line in the Northern Cape. The minister explains that the process will be similar to bidding rounds for green power generation that have been followed in recent years. The National Transmission Company of South Africa will act as the buyer and will enter into long-term contracts with private companies that will construct the lines. A new U.S. tariff regime on imported motor vehicles is expected to come into force today. What does this mean for the local automotive industry and our economy in general? Chris Hunting for the Center for Risk Analysis gives us more insight on this.
South Africa's automotive sector especially benefits greatly from South Africa's access, tariff-free access to U.S. markets as a consequence of the Africa Growth and Opportunity Act, or AGOA. In 2023, the U.S. was South Africa's second biggest automotive trading partner after Germany, with total trade between the two countries valued at 56.7 billion rand, and part of that was 27 billion rand in exports from South Africa to the US. So talking about companies like Volkswagen, Mercedes, BMW, they export quite a bit to the US, and if South Africa loses its AGOA access, that doesn't mean those companies can't still export to the US, but those products and components will no longer be tariff-free, which means their cost will be increased, especially for US companies and US consumers, which might then mean that fewer US consumers buy things manufactured in South Africa, especially in the automotive sector.
And a unit of South Africa's third largest bank by assets, APSA, plans to open a representative office in Dubai next year. The plan is to benefit from growing trade and investment between the Middle East and Africa. According to the chief executive officer of APSA's group's corporate investment banking unit, Yasmin Masitile, they are setting up a Dubai office in the first quarter of next year. She says they're just waiting for regulatory approval. The office will allow the unit of the bank to serve its clients on the continent seeking to do business in Gulf nations, as well as Middle East-based businesses wanting to access African markets. We now have the president of the Economic Society of South Africa, Professor Valdo Grichel, on the line with us. Valdo, why is there so much economic uncertainty currently, and what does this mean?
This week is a good time to talk about policy uncertainty, something that economists always keep an eye on. The Policy Uncertainty Index, or the NWU, is at a historic high for the first quarter of the year. There are broader uncertainties surrounding international trade policy and South Africa's position relative to the US. In the context of the auto industry tariffs, we must ask, in what framework will we be operating under in the future? Will South Africa remain part of the AGOA? Or will we be subject to most favored nation tariff structures? Can we negotiate a new bilateral trade deal with the US? Or are we at risk of facing reciprocal tariffs? Relations between the US and South Africa have become tense. The ANC government seems determined to pursue policy directions that don't align with the preferences of the Trump administration, and that creates further uncertainty. If our future under AGOA is unclear, South African firms may start looking for new markets or continue exporting to the US, but with reduced competitiveness and profitability. That means lower export earnings. And since exports are a key driver of economic growth, we are looking at uncertainty not just in trade, but in the exchange rate and economic growth as well.
Thanks very much, Professor Valdo Grichel, President of the Economic Society of South Africa. He's also an economics associate at the Northwest University's Business School. If you'd like to hear more from Prof. Grichel, you can listen to his daily podcast called The Economic Minute on Spotify or Anchor FM.
Time now to take a look at your international business news.
The conservative USA TV network Newsmax has seen an extraordinary stock market surge, with its valuation skyrocketing over 2.2% since its Monday debut in New York. Shares rose from $10 to $233 by yesterday, pushing its market value to nearly 30 billion rand. Newsmax is seen as friendly to US President Donald Trump and was promoted by him during his first term in the White House. According to the Bloomberg Billionaires Index, the share price surge has made Newsmax's founder and chief executive Christopher Ruddy one of the richest people in the USA, with a net worth of more than $9 billion.
Coming up next, our investment segment delves into the world of finance and wealth building.
The ICT group ICO has turned a profit for the first time in 3 years. The group was formerly known as EOH. Revenue fell 6.4% to 2.7 billion rand in the 6 months to end January. However, the company's earnings before interest, taxation, depreciation and amortization surged as much as 159.3% to 252 million rand. The company is currently valued at 2 billion rand on the JSE after a 177% share price rise over the past year. The group says its plans to expand into new products and markets after a drive to streamline its corporate structure. Before we say goodbye, we chat with an advisor of Premier Alan Wendy, Alvi Lester, about the Western Cape Government's Energy Resilience Program. Alvi, last week we discussed the province's Energy Resilience Program. Can you tell us again what you want to achieve with this program?
So we really have two objectives that we'd like to achieve over a 5 to 10 year window. The first is to mitigate and manage energy-related disasters in the Western Cape. And typically we talk about load shedding as a disaster, but it could be any network outage that has a long-term and medium-term impact on the citizens in the province. The second objective is to facilitate improved energy resilience in the Western Cape. And this is really talking to a secure, decarbonized, affordable, and financially sustainable source of energy.
What support is available for businesses to reduce some of the risks and to take advantage of the opportunities in energy?
We give them access to, you know, they could apply for funding to assist them. It's not 100%. It's very much also on the basis of the tax relief that offered by national government in terms of your solar systems. What we also do for, like I say, groupings of businesses is to try and get them to almost aggregate in terms of an industrial area. We then bring the likes of an Eskom or a city into a discussion with those particular businesses to see if we can't have a curtailment arrangement in place, which really means that they manage their own load. And if they're able to do that for a particular period, that Eskom and or a municipality will then exempt them from the load shedding schedules.
How are you ensuring collaboration within the province of different role players to achieve your goals with the program?
So right at the beginning, we found this to be quite critical. You actually need everyone in the province to be party to the strategy. And so what we've tried to do is to create transparency in what we do. We've created an energy council in the province that has representation from municipalities. It has representation from tertiary institutions. It has representation even from other provinces on occasion, and we also have a sort of permanent seat for the Department of Energy at the Energy Council.
What lessons can we take forward, and what opportunities are there to also take advantage of it in the future?
So the one thing that became quite evident to us is that when you want to do independent energy programs, that these things take time. And if you look at things like the planning process that you need to go through, the environmental permitting that's required, the commercial process and the limitations within that sourcing and commercial process, these things take time. I think at the beginning, you're very ambitious. You want to put megawatts into the grid, and everybody has this expectation we're going to solve the problem in a short space of time. But in reality, you know, the fastest project that you can deliver, and it has improved, I must say. But at the time when we started, you know, a solar project would take you between 14 and 18 months before you had megawatts in the system. It's improved. It's definitely improved. It's quicker, but it still takes time.
And that was an advisor of Premier Alan Wendy, Alvi Lester. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more business news, local and international, on BizScoops. I'm Barry Murray. Goodbye.
And this was another edition of BizScoops, proudly produced by News Scoop.